The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So a few weeks ago, I did a talk on attitude of gratitude, and this is part two. And I anticipate that this will be a series, and there'll probably be part three and part four at some point, if I'm not getting too ambitious. today, I wanted to look at great master Dogen Shobo Genzo. This is, part two, and then in part three, we'll continue with that. And then in part four, we'll look at other writings of great master Dogen, kind of his teachings on gratitude. I find that gratitude in Dogen is like great whales in the ocean. They're always there. They're usually not seen. Sometimes they're very deep, but occasionally they break the surface and we see them. So what I hope to do is touch upon some of the sightings of gratitude in Dogen and encourage you to follow up on some of the references. In my experience, the discourses that I'm going to be referring to are more accessible than some of Dogen's other writings. They don't require a knowledge of Chinese koan stories, so you don't need that context. They do require a bit of meditation, but since that's a central part of our practice, that shouldn't be something that you're lacking in. As probably most of you know, the complete text of the Shobo Genzo can be found on the publications page of the Shasta Abbey website. You can use the search function to find the different discourses that I'm mentioning. I'm going to follow the general outline that I used in part one, using the first three bows of Samantabhadra Bodhisattva to look at these teachings on gratitude. I think most of you know, but for anyone who's listening who doesn't, Samantabhadra is the Bodhisattva of great love, sometimes called the Bodhisattva of great practice. Sometimes Reverend Hubert referred to him as loving practice, the Bodhisattva of loving practice. The first three vows of Samantabhadra, and again, the vows are the practices that we undertake as a bodhisattva, as a being who's intent upon enlightenment. These are the practices that we try to follow. And Shakyamuni Buddha, the historical Buddha, called himself a bodhisattva before he became the Buddha, after his awakening experience. So bodhisattvas embody qualities that we're trying to emulate, but each of us is a bodhisattva as well, as we set our hearts on becoming Buddha, on awakening our own hearts. The first three bows are bowing, praising Tathagatas. Tathagatas is what the Buddha used to refer to himself. And then making offerings. Today I'm just going to focus on bowing. And there's not always a clear demarcation between these three, as you'll find Dogen blends them all together often. So it together they give a clear flavor of, if you want to call it, devotional practice in Dogen. We usually associate devotional practice with Great Master Keizan, who's the other founder of Soto Zen in Japan. But it's there in Dogen as well, if you look at the totality of his writings. I think you'll see how the gratitude just kind of seeps through. The first vow is making prostrations or bowing. Dogen has a couple of discourses specifically on this in the Shobogenzo. One of them is number 10. It's early in his teaching career, and it's entitled, appropriately enough, "On Respectful Bowing Will Secure for You the Very Marrow of the Way." And Reverend Hubert says that translation can also be rendered as respectfully bowing to those who have realized the very marrow of the way. As I mentioned previously, I find that the bowing implies and constitutes gratitude. I don't think you can bow without expressing gratitude in some way. When we bow, we're bowing to the Buddha, to our own true nature, and raising the heart of gratitude for the life of the Buddha and for his teachings. This particular discourse is quite famous for highlighting the excellent training of women. And Dogen uses it to emphasize the necessity and value of bowing to women masters. And he quotes various examples from Chinese Buddhism of eminent Chinese masters who were examples. He says, whether the guiding master has the physical features of a male or female, or whatever, is irrelevant. But it must be someone who is spiritually outstanding, one who is truly with it now, here and now. With it is a Chinese colloquial slang. It's with it, with a capital I. Whether he or she is someone of the past or a present-day person is of no matter. Even one who has the nagging manner of a wild fox may prove to be a good spiritual friend. Dogen quotes Shakyamuni Buddha, And this is a quote that we find in the Shoshogi, you know, the excerpted from the Shobogenzo. Should you meet teachers who expound supreme enlightenment, do not inquire into their family pedigree, do not look at their personal appearance, do not despise their shortcomings, do not be concerned with their behavior. Simply, out of a respect and esteem for their spiritual wisdom, feed such persons daily with hundreds of thousands of ounces of gold. This is metaphorically speaking, of course. Bestow upon them food fit for the gods. Make them offerings to meet their needs, and scatter celestial flowers upon them as a reverential offering. Thrice every day, morning, noon, and evening, reverently bow to pay your respects without letting any feelings of resentment arise in you. When you behave in this way, there will undoubtedly be a way to enlightenment for you. From the time when I first gave rise to the intention to realize Buddhahood, I have trained and practiced in this manner so that today I am realizing supreme enlightenment. Dogen makes the point of not only bowing to women, but to whatever teaches us the Dharma, even if it's an animal or inanimate things. He goes on after that quotes to say, in accordance with this, we should pray that the very trees and stones give voice to the Dharma for us. We should hold it in our hearts the wish that the fields and the villages also give forth to it. We should ask it of the pillar of a temple. We should have the walls and fences explore it thoroughly with us. A pillar of a temple is a metaphor for an outstanding teacher in the monastery who's holding up the temple. He or she is a pillar of the temple. He also says, it has been said, prizing the Dharma means that if our guide and teacher, be it one who is a supporting pillar of the temple or a temple lantern, and that's a metaphor for someone who's showing us the light of the way, a lantern. A Buddha, if one is a Buddha, or a wild fox, a hungry ghost, or a divine being, if such a person is presenting the great Dharma and has personally realized its marrow, we should respectfully serve him or her for immeasurable eons with our bodies and minds as resting place for the teaching. I think that's a really beautiful phrase, you know, that we want to make our bodies and minds a resting place for the teaching. I want to make a short digression on the use of the word marrow. Now, Dogen is telling us that this is a bowing that will secure for us the very marrow of the way. I think the ancients must certainly have realized that the bone marrow was living tissue. It's the innermost core and strength of the human body. Modern science has revealed that bone marrow is where the blood cells are created for our body. They're continually creating new blood cells. So if you connect up this fact with the symbology of the precepts being our blood and bones, and this is a direct reference to the Kechimyaku, the bloodline of the Buddhas, the precepts, we come up with the analogy that bowing, you know, the marrow of the way is synonymous with the precepts. When we keep to the precepts, we're bowing to that which is greater than ourselves. We're committing ourselves to follow those precepts. And in that way, we keep our true nature alive. It's flowing through us. And bowing helps us do that. You know, whether it's literally bowing, or whether it's bowing to a difficult situation or to a difficult teaching that someone is giving us, or whether we're just bowing to the universe, whether that's in gratitude or whether that's in asking for help, you know. The attitude of gratitude is one that comes with bowing. Dogen gave this talk initially at his temple in Kyoto, you know, his first temple. And he really took his monks to task for not bowing to women teachers. But apparently they were rather thick and didn't get it, because he had to talk about it again a second time. And he becomes very emphatic about his points. And each of the paragraphs is introduced by, "and also," yeah, "and also," "and also." There was a practice in Japan at the time where women weren't allowed into temples because the temples were considered to be pure realms, and women were not considered to be pure. Well, but Dogen essentially says that's just a monk. That's just not true. And he points out that some such monks who hold to that idea. He says they should do well to study the edifying instructions given by the Buddha, and thereby to enter into the realm of Buddhas, which of course includes repaying one's indebtedness to the Buddha for his kindness. And so he's again equating repaying one's indebtedness with gratitude. That our gratitude should include not just bowing to what gives us the teaching, but making sure that the realm of teaching is open for everyone. This is an example of how there's a there's often humor in Dogen, and he ends this discourse by saying, "This is an example of how emphatic he was about it. I pray that you will quickly sober up from your habitual drunkenness on delusion, and that you will not deviate from." The whole universe is the great realm of all Buddhas. In your trying to rescue all sentient beings from their suffering and ferry them across to the other shore, they will respectfully bow to you and venerate the merits from receiving your spiritual instructions. Who among them will not call this securing the very marrow of the way? Now, in another discourse, this is number 42. This was after he was in his temple in at Eiheiji, up in the mountains of northern Japan. It's called Dharani in Japanese, and Reverend Hubert translates this as On Invocations, What We Offer to the Buddhas and Ancestors. Dharanis are usually thought of as like a verbal prayer. There's often an aspect of calling upon. They're often like mantras. They're in Sanskrit. However, an example is the Litany of the Great Compassionate One, which we do as part of our vespers service here. That's technically a Dharani. We translate it there as the litany. But those shorter little scriptures, we call them invocations. And the short scriptures we did today as part of the festival, we also call those invocations because they're invoking the presence of that Buddha or that Bodhisattva. We're calling upon them for help in our practice. Dogen starts with that, and then he gives it a slight twist. And he includes in Dharanis bowing and making offerings. And really, all three of Samantabhadra's three vows are consolidated. There's bowing, there's praising Tathagatas, you know, verbal praise, and making offerings. Dogen writes what is called the Great Invocation refers to paying our respects. And because paying our respects is the Great Invocation, to pay our respects is to mutually encounter the Buddhas and ancestors within our paying respect to them. Okay? Otherwise, a bowing opens our own hearts to the teachings of the Buddhas and ancestors. They come alive when we bow. Okay? They're not just historical figures. They're a living presence that we can bow to and who can help us when we find ourselves in a difficult situation. This discourse is the source of the often repeated quote that says, when respectful bowing abides in the world, the Buddha Dharma will abide in the world. Should respectful bowing pass away, then the Buddha Dharma will disappear. It's that central to our practice. And as Buddhists, as Dogen is presenting it here, is the very core of our practice. It embodies and encapsulates our practice, that practice of bowing. Dogen says, you need to realize that respectfully bowing is the treasure house of the eye of the true teaching. That's a translation for Shobo Genzo. The treasure house of the eye of the true teaching. It's that core. It's a treasure, and it's the eye of the teaching. It's that which enables us to see. Okay? It's the treasure house of the eye of the true teaching. And the word true gets, it's easy to just kind of glide over that, but Dogen puts a lot of emphasis in his teaching that what he is offering is the true Dharma. He was very much trying to clarify and emphasize that there were a lot of ways that Buddhism had gotten distracted. And what he was offering was the true Dharma. Okay? He was, even by his contemporaries, he was called the old Buddha of the true Dharma, okay? Because he put so much emphasis on that. So he says that respectfully bowing is the treasure house of the eye of the true teaching, and that the treasure house of the eye of the true teaching is the great invocation. Dogen makes the point that offering the great invocation includes, you know, making offerings of incense, of flowers. He includes in that the wearing of the kesa, right, the Buddha's robe. He includes in that the an offering of our meditation practice. Okay, it's not limited to material offerings. Okay, it's our very own meditation. He says, he is a poem called The Great Invocation. He doesn't say where it comes from, but he says, by reciting this invocation, we continually remain in stillness and thereby preserve the whole of the great earth. By continually remaining in stillness, we thereby fill the worlds in all the quarters. By continually remaining in stillness, we make manifest the whole sphere of time. By continually remaining in stillness, we cultivate the whole of the Buddha realms. And by continually remaining in stillness, we realize what is within our own hermit's hut and what is outside our hermit's hut. And that's a metaphor for our practice, okay, as if it were a building that a hermit might live in, okay, a safe and secure place, protected from the world. You need to thoroughly explore through your training that this is what the great invocation is really like. All invocations take this invocation as their matrix. Okay? His stillness, this bowing is the matrix for all the other offerings that we give. Notes here. He concludes this discourse with saying, our respectfully bowing to Shakyamuni Buddha and making our offerings to him means that we are respectfully bowing and making our offerings to our teacher. There is nothing other than our encountering Shakyamuni Buddha. It is our making a Dharma offering to Shakyamuni Buddha. It is our offering an invocation to Shakyamuni Buddha. And he ends with, these are the traces of former ancestors. They are the great invocation. I find that in reading this particular discourse that the gratitude just seems to flow off the pages. You know, I don't know that Dogen ever actually uses the word gratitude, but it's there. It's like those whales breaking the surface. You know, you can't help but sense and see the gratitude that he's associated with a respectful bowing. And that's the first of the three great vows of Samantabhadra. And I hope you'll We'll follow up these sightings, and the show begins, O Yourself. Again, that's discourse number 10 and 42. Again, they're more accessible than some of Dogen's other writings, and they're just very inspirational. So I hope you will find that, if you haven't already, that bowing can be an important part of your practice. Thank you.